Good to have you. This is the Wake Up Zone, 735 on 104.5 The Zone. Chilly Tuesday morning. The chilly inside Bridgestone Arena tonight. The Predators host the Minnesota Wild. And to talk some hockey, the guy you can hear right here on The Zone, on the neutral zone, Christopher Martell from Fox Sports Tennessee. Chris, what's going on?
Not much, gentlemen. How are y'all doing this morning?
We're fine. Regardless of how it happened, how important was it for this team just to get those 2 points out of the game in Minnesota on Sunday, you know, whether it's in a shootout or regulation or whatever?
Yeah, they really needed those. And it's funny, as I was watching the game, I sat there, and especially during the second period, and I said, and I put it on Twitter, and I said, you know, the Preds are going to let the Wild hang around until they score and they take a lead. And then lo and behold, the Wild scored and then took the lead. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know what to tell you. I just saw it coming. Now, that third period, though, that was impressive. It was impressive in the sense that they played the same kind of third period they played against Winnipeg last week, but this time it bounced in their favor. And that's what you got to hope for. You know, if you see a team not play a good 20 minutes to start the game and then a lackluster 20 in the middle, they need to really have a strong finish. Nashville hasn't had that finish over the past couple of weeks, maybe almost the past month or so. But the last couple of games, they've been able to put a finishing stamp on it. And, you know, unfortunately for Nashville, the shootout gave them that extra point in the standing.
Jussi Saros was really good in that game and has been really good in the last stretch that he's played. We were kicking this around some yesterday, Chris. How close do you think he's getting a first postseason start once we get to that point next month?
I don't think that he'll get. I don't think he'll get a start in the postseason unless something happens to Rene.
Right.
Unless Rene falls apart.
Yeah, and that was kind of my thought too. Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't say that in the context of him not being ready for it, because I fully think Jussi Saros could easily play in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the way the Lobby Left Mind works is that this is Pecorino's team, and he is going to start in the playoffs. And unless he is giving up five goals in consecutive nights or his leg is falling off, he's going to start for the Preds. I think that's going to be the case until we see differently, because as we've seen every season thus far, Pecorino has started pretty much every game for the Preds in the playoffs.
Christopher Martell is our guest from Fox Tennessee, and of course the Neutral Zone on 104.5 The Zone.
Yeah, Chris, I was talking about Torres being, I guess, moved down to maybe the third or fourth line and go with Grantland Smith and Yaron Croak. What do you think about that, or do you think that's a bad idea?
What, Grantland Smith and Yaron Croak being together?
Yeah, on the second line, though.
You know, I like it. However, I still think that the Granlund, Turris, and Smith line needs to be given a little bit more time to gel. Because I've seen flashes of brilliance with this line. Flashes that it can be really, really good. But, I mean, Granlund's only been with the team for a couple of games now. And I don't know. I know Peter Laviolette lately has been flipping the lines like he's been putting them into a blender and just kind of dumping it out and be like, okay, let's go with this. But in the same time, I know they've only got, less than, 13, 14 games left. So they're going to find something that sticks. Now, if Yarncroke ends up being the piece, with Granlund and Smith as opposed to Turris, then, I don't see that being a bad line at all. However, I would really like to see Turris, have, I guess, a more offensive position than below the second line.
What about, I like the way the third line was constructed. I know it was because of Boyle's injury, but Grimaldi in the middle, Bonino on the wing, and Simmons, they were, I thought they did a pretty good job in Minnesota.
Well, I think any line that you put Rocco Grimaldi on, he's going to be really, really, really good. And I think he really, he boosts whatever line he's on. And, you know, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season, and I know going into camp, especially coming through camp, Rocco Grimaldi was looking really, really strong. But if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that Rocco Grimaldi would be like a mini Victor Arvidsson in terms of a spark that he can produce on the lines, I'd have called you a liar. Now, looking at what he does now, and especially with that line, how Grimaldi was put with Bonino and Simmons, I thought that line looked really, 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 really good. And, you know, Bonino contributed, Simmons got on the points, and Grimaldi is just everywhere on the ice. I really think, in my opinion, he's kind of that catalyst. And I know Boyle was, he's got a lower body injury, and hopefully we'll find out more about that today. But honestly, I think that's more of kind of sticking a piece to see where it's going to, see how it's going to work out. And I think, lo and behold, they may have found a really successful line with those three.
Do you think we see Tolvanen again, or is he going to get called up when the rosters expand, which is probably academic? But do you think he's taken seriously at all about a guy they might put on the fourth line?
My question would be why. You know, I mean, I don't think he's shown enough development through Milwaukee thus far this season to really kind of be a guy that they could put even in a fourth-line position. But I don't even think they want to put him in a fourth-line position, because for a player like Tolvanen, you'd want to give him every opportunity to be offensively capable. And with a more defensively, offensively sheltered role on a fourth-line position, he's not going to be able to do that. So I think, you know, like you said, it's academic that he's going to be brought up at some point, especially with the Black Aces. But I don't see him being put into the lineup unless injuries are just befalling the Predators in the last couple of weeks and into the postseason.
Dante Fabro's season is going to be ending pretty soon, in the next week or so. His regular season ends, I think, Thursday. But what do you think the focus is going to be when it comes to him? Any feel for if they're going to be able to sign him?
I think they'd like to sign him, but I don't know if he's going to sign or not. I know that David Poile, their staff believe he is, if he's not NHL ready, he is close to NHL ready. And I think it's just a matter of getting him a contract that he would see that would work for him at the NHL level and bring him into the fold. And potentially, I wouldn't say guaranteeing him NHL playing time from the get-go, but I mean, if this is a kid who's NHL ready and you know he's going to be a dynamic piece on your defensive core come another year or so, then I don't see why you wouldn't say, hey, listen, we're going to go ahead and put you in, get you some minutes, and see how you work with the rest of the defensive unit. So, I mean, will he sign? I'm not sure, but if I were him, I would seriously consider it, because he's playing with one of the best defensive cores across the league.
Video tribute for Fiala tonight? Just kidding.
maybe a slideshow tribute. Yeah, we'll go slideshow. Yeah.
Christopher Martel, appreciate the time, man. Talk to you soon.
It sounds good, guys.
Okay. Get him on the Neutral Zone on 104.5 The Zone, and read his work on Twitter and see it. Fox Sports Tennessee, always fun. Catch up with Chris, talk some Preds. They play Minnesota tonight, 7 o'clock at Bridgestone for round two. Second time in 3 days between those two teams. Coming up next, shining at the Combine. How Coach Mack evaluates players differently than maybe he did in the past. Interesting answer from Coach Dave McGinnis, who was with us yesterday. We'll have that for you when we come back here on the Wake Up Zone. Mark, first, in a word about Wilson County Hyundai.
Yeah, pain bone jacked up, of course. The 2019 Hyundais are in, and he's telling you that the savings on each and every Hyundai is a true value buy. If you're shopping sports utilities, they have you winter ready. The 2019 Santa Fe is their most advanced SUV ever. And with the Tucson and all new Kona, you can compare them all side by side. And you can also compare the Elantra and Sonata. They're both value at its best. If Hyundai makes it, Wilson County Hyundai has it. With America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty and Hyundai Assurance, Wilson County Hyundai, they're close right there in Lebanon, off exit 236 off Highway 40, just 20 minutes east of the airport, and their family. And they look forward to seeing you in the showroom or shop online at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Have a great Hyundai day.
Zone.